So, we're back. Sue and Scott, 102.9 FM, we're back for the final run here up to the top of the hour when you'll get some more news. Meanwhile, we're talking about inventory for the last time this month. In a way, this year, but you'll hear about inventory further down the road in Step 10 when we talk about doing a mini inventory just about daily. In other words, what we do is we find problems, we fix them. We don't wait till we have to do these monumental inventories like we do in the fourth step. So, thinking about that, Sue, fixing things as they come along, are you better at that today than you were when you first came around these kinds of programs? I certainly am, I'll tell you.
Yeah, definitely, I think. I think my whole sort of being is transformed in a way, right? Because they're not nearly as important as they used to be. You know, everything was an issue.
Yeah.
But today, it's put in its proper perspective, and it's not, anything can be fixed. And like I said last night, the wonderful thing about this program is that I can always start again. Every day is a new day.
Yeah.
And within the 12-step program, no one judges anyone. So it doesn't matter what I've done, what we've done up to this point. It can be the most horrendous thing. It doesn't matter, because today I can start again. And there's always healing and redemption. Actually, I watched a show on Sunday night on CNN about that, restorative justice, where this man had killed the mother of this girl that was sitting in front of him. She wanted to meet this man, the man who had killed her mom, right? Mm-hmm. And understand why it happened and how it happened. Mm-hmm. And actually, did my mom suffer while you were doing it, right? I mean, really, really hard questions for this man. He was crying and he was shaking. So, but they've become a team now, and they actually go into jail. And because they want to get this program of restorative justice where the offender meets the victim, right? They want to get it going. And the healing that came from that was just amazing, for both of them, right? Yeah. For him, even though it was really hard telling her what he'd done to her mom.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful. And so there's this, it gives you so much hope.
Too bad we hadn't thought of that last night. That's the answer to one of those fellows' questions there, how do you decide and how do you forgive and so on.
Yeah.
If we'd have told him that, or if you'd have told him that story, he might have gotten it.
And, I didn't think of it.
I didn't either, but there always is an answer, and I guess the other thing for people like us, and by the way, folks out there, and neither of us on the program today, anyway, is an addict or anything like that. But we were brought to this form of, recuperating, recovering, getting past, able to live with, by being involved with someone else who had a problem in one of those arenas, whether it be addiction, mental illness, some combination of those things. And the reason I want to point that out is 12-step was designed for the alcoholic originally, but folks, it's used for literally hundreds and hundreds of different things today. Everything from depression and anxiety to overeating, to gambling, to codependent people affected by other people, and which boils down to control issues. And everybody has control issues, even if it's just trying to be in control of our own lives. So, it's deep, it's far-reaching, it's spiritual. And it's applicable to life as it is today, and as it always is, and always has been, always will be, I believe. Certain things never change, and we can rely on this way of life, but we have to stay with it. And I'm thinking that many people come to a program, even like this, even like Sharing the Burden, and come for a number of years, we'll say, or months or years, whatever, and then sort of disappear. Until they're starting to not feel so well again, and back they come, and so on. So to live the kind of life that works, and what I'm saying is you need a program for life. And a program for life is not something that you use once in a while. You get up every day and you use your program to life to work your way through your life, and hopefully in a productive, meaningful, purposeful way. So, folks, you've got to get involved in something that gives you whatever it is you need, but you've got to keep it in your face, you know. And that's why I think the 12 steps work so well, especially for those who are in the throes of addiction, and they really need that camaraderie, that identification almost daily, often forever. And we see people with 20, 30, 40 years of sobriety in some of the different rooms where they have meetings, and it's become a way of life. It's not that they have to go anymore, but that's where they go for their peace and their honesty and truth. And like you were saying, Sue, there is such honesty and such care and love around those programs that, you know, why would you not want to go a lot if it made you feel that way? Why do people come and fall away? I don't know. Human nature, I guess. But so how do you keep it in your face? And I sort of know the answer, but I'll let you describe your life and, you know, in service, if you will, because I think service is what keeps us close to a program for life, for us anyway. And, you know, one of the guys last night was asking, well, you know, how do you do that? Why do you, you know, why doesn't it bother you? Sort of thing. Well, I mean, it feels so good to see people change for the better that there's no greater reward for me than just being witness to that. So, but I don't know how to describe it to someone who doesn't know it. You know, I know you know it, and I know you're involved in a couple of services, and mostly around people who have been or are in this case, you and I, in jails or have been and they're out and so on. And maybe you can describe a bit of that side of your life where you walk with the people trying to get back into society, reintegrate or so on, because I know you do a lot of that work too, and I'm sure it's of interest to those out there. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that, Sue, and you know, you can describe the organization if you want or not, that's up to you. So anyway.
Yeah, well, like I said a bit earlier, I was just kind of led into this fellowship. It's called Friends of Dismas, and it's a friendship with guys who have they're out. They've been incarcerated, but they're out now. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a group. Actually, it's very similar to a 12-step meeting, but without the actual format of it, right? But the idea is the same, that we, all the guys that are out, it's very hard when you come out. It's very hard to find a place to live, to get a job, because you're carrying your past with you all the time, right? And well, society is carrying your past. You might have, moved on. But, So it's just providing that support to helping them get reintegrated back into society and to help them find a place to live and a job. And, we meet every other Friday in a church at Lawrence, Young and Lawrence. And that's the only sort of prerequisite, is that you have to have been incarcerated. Mm-hmm. It's for people who have been and who are out now. And we break bread, we have a meal together, and then we have a sharing circle, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I have walked with a couple of people, which means that you are, you know, you're sort of there if they would need to phone you or to have a coffee with them. In between those meetings. So, yeah, it's just about sharing friendship and love, really, and listening to them.
Yeah.
And
there's several of you who might circle one person. Right?
Yes.
That's interesting because you can be consistent with, you know, several people far better than you can be with one. You know, we talk of sponsorship in the 12-step programs all the time. And, you know, that's basically, I mean, one person can sponsor more than one. I don't mean that. But it's a one-on-one relationship as opposed to several people. And I like that circle idea because you need more than one. You know, you need to be able to reach out. And so you've got to be reasonably close to several people as opposed to very close to one and not so close to anyone else. So,
yeah.
So I like that part of the theme. And by the way, Dismas, folks, for those who don't know, was the name, I believe, or a name given, I'm not sure, by a church organization at some point, of the fellow on the cross beside Jesus, the one who...
The good thief who did the
right thing, and supposedly would end up in heaven. Yeah. Which reminds me, there's for scriptural buffs out there, and in Hebrews 13:3 it says, and there's many references to this and to people in jail, but it says, "Remember those in prison as though you were there yourself." And if you've never been in a prison and you'd you feel a kind of a hunger to do this kind of service. We need people. And, as we try to expand the jail ministry of our organization, expand into other jails and prisons throughout the land, we're going to need a lot of volunteers here, there, and everywhere. So please find me, Scott, at sharingtheburden.ca or 647-222-0515. Connect to the website, either stbradio.ca or sharingtheburden.ca, and you'll hook up with me through there, I'm sure. But yeah, we need people, and we need people badly, really. So, if you don't get into a jail, how can you treat the people as though you knew? And it is fascinating, and I guess Sue and I have been doing it for a long time now, but to go in there with the knowledge that you're going to leave always, inevitably, and I'm talking over 15 years now, I've been doing that thing, you feel high when you leave. And I mean, a high that, far surpasses any kind of high I used to get out of booze or smoking marijuana or something like that. But, it's amazing,
Yes.
It really is. Do you find that, in terms of...
Definitely. And it's all under that cover of giving back, really, although you don't look at it that way. Because, like I said, it's a joy to go in there, really, and be with those guys and listen to them.
Yeah.
And, actually, I was just going to mention to you that the circle that we put around is more so for the guys that have had sexual crimes.
Yeah.
It's called the Circles of Support and Accountability.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So circles are put around those guys, but
that's important because the sexual predator, as they want to call them, him or her, we know from the jail, services that people in protective custody, where we find most of those offenders in the jails, they want to change far more than the people in what we call general population in the jails. So, in other words, folks, if they hate who they are, every bit as much as you do, even more, and want to change, why should we, castigate them? Why should we push them down to feeling below everybody else because of the nature of their crime? Now, and we all hate those crimes, and if we think of anybody close to us who could be involved or be a victim, it's horrible, and we understand that, but they don't want to be who they are, and that is key, man. When we see it, they come out with their hearts on their sleeves, and these guys, they'll do anything to change. We talk about decisions and whatever. It's to the point, just like the addicts or alcoholics say, I've gone the distance. I'll do whatever you tell me. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it.
95% of them as well. Were abused as children. It was learned behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
It was learned behavior. So, And you know what's amazed me, I think, the most about being in that group is, because I don't particularly want to know what someone's done. We're not supposed to ask anyway, but yeah. I'd sooner not. Because then I'm meeting the person face to face, and I'm seeing them just as they are at this present moment.
Yeah.
And I mean, their stories are amazing, and they're so talented.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got a story, and they've all got the most wonderful gifts and talents.
Mm-hmm.
Be it painting. Yeah. I've got artwork from some of them, Right, yeah. It's just absolutely incredible. And one guy is an amazing pianist. This church where we are, he just sat down at the piano and started to play like an absolute pro. Wow. And he was a pro way back. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, separating behavior from the personality is... you're right, though, and we're far better off if we don't know.
No.
I mean, there's some of us with curiosity runs too deep, and you know they have to find out what somebody did and so on. And I've often told them I'd rather not know too, because that way I can't put anything in the mix that's going to taint my sense of who
exactly.
that person is.
Exactly.
So yeah. we deal with real people, and we all make mistakes, and some of theirs just seem a little more glaring, but. With that, Sue, I'm going to have to thank you, because we've got to get off the air and go home and learn how to get into step 5, where we're talking about all these things we found in step 4, all the bad parts anyway, and trying to get rid of the not so good pieces of our lives, and so that we don't repeat them. But anyway, that's for another month, and for now I just want to thank you very much, and for bailing me out at the last minute.
Well,
really,
thanks for having
it.
Me. I love coming. It's
You're very welcome.
Great.
Come often. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show and hope you'll share it. Till we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.